July of 2015, we're actually, the airport's doing quite well, actually. Even though for that time period we're down 10%, we're actually doing a lot better than 90% of the rest of the towered airports in New England. The only airports that are doing better than us are Worcester. I can only imagine that's because of JetBlue going in there. And Groton, Connecticut, for some reason, is doing very well.
And Norwood is doing very poorly.
Well, again, there's some airports have highlights and some airports have lowlights. Beverly, for the same time period this year, is up 13%. They had a flight school start there this year, and you know, it's paying benefits. They're doing well.
So, where is this data posted?
The FAA website. It's all directly from FAA.
It's pretty current if you're able to get July numbers.
Up to July. I was trying to get through August, but apparently they don't post them until later on in the month. So. And you know,
Steve, is this calendar year, January through July?
It is,
July?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is.
Well, part of the reason we're down is such a bad winter, I'm sure.
I think you might be right, Andy. We lost the entire month of February. It snowed just about every day in February. And you know, that's, you know, that affected all airports equally.
If you're an air carrier airport, you're going to have more effort to get it open.
That's true. You're right. Absolutely right. You know, kind of dovetailing into this too is when we look at the our based aircraft. In the last year, we've lost a Learjet. One of the corporate operators here on the airport just divested themselves of their corporate aircraft. We lost a Pilatus. FLIR Systems is no longer based here, and I don't know why. I wish Greg was here. I could ask him why. But we've gained about six other additional aircraft here at the airport that are based here now, to include a Challenger at Infinity and a Kinger as well, plus four other smaller single-engine piston aircraft. So the net is a gain. We're gaining aircraft. Our operations are down, but that's reflective of the economy. And I would say these factors. I'd say the airport's doing well. It's relatively healthy. So I wouldn't get too focused on that 13%. You know, that will hopefully more than likely change.
We have to kind of assume that this is the way it's going to be until the economy improves.
Yeah, and the recent system plan update that DOT did actually forecasted a decline in operations statewide and based aircraft count statewide as well. So,
you know, the next 10, 15 years, it's going to be flat.
Yeah.
Flat growth.
Yeah. Or even a decline. Yeah.
So we need to work harder to keep what we have.
Absolutely.
And much less grow it. Okay. Any other comments on this, on volume? Okay. We'll move to the airport manager report.
Thank you again, Mr. Chair. Wildlife activity on the airport, again, moderate with no reported strikes. We're still seeing migratory waterfowl overflying the airport, and we'll continue to harass these birds when able. We added an extension to the car reader at gate 7, the Faro extension.
Thank you.
Hopefully that'll resolve the. Hopefully it's resolved the issue.
It seems to work fine.
Great. Good. Aerodyne Research will be conducting additional emissions testing on turbine engine aircraft in October here at the airport. Demolition of the underground storage tanks is scheduled to begin actually Tuesday, September 22nd. The recent marketing study that we did, there were a lot of comments about the gates and that some of them closed too long. I know we talked about it here in the airport authority meetings. We had the, over at gate 13 in front of Infinity, we had the fence company cut a new exit loop. One of the problems with that gate is the exit loop was so far away from the gate that people would come through the gate and, you know, they'd be 15 or 20 feet out from the gate and still waiting for the gate to close, and they're actually still on that exit loop. So What we had them do is cut a new exit loop that's really up close and tight to the gate so that people can come through and they don't have to be waiting forever for the gate to close because they're actually on the exit. So we were able to adjust the timing on the guillotine gate, gate 12. I know you'll be very happy about that, Dennis. It now stays open for 7 seconds and then starts to close.
That's Pharaoh's thing.
Pharaoh, I know you'll be very happy about that.
That's great. So someone is able to make an adjustment then.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that Pharaoh's happy.
Our cooperative agreement with Hollisbrook Klein High School to provide life skills to students with disabilities is moving forward. We're planning on beginning the program in mid to late October, and this is a program where high school students will be able to come to the airport. They'll go through a process of interviewing. They'll come here and actually do a job here at the airport for an hour or two a week. They'll be supervised by a paraprofessional, and it's a tremendous. I know Midfield Cafe is also on board, and so is Infinity, and it's really a fantastic opportunity to get these folks some real world experience with real world life experience. Our Touch a Truck Planning Committee met today to break down this year's event, which was a very successful event. We had 2,200 people show up. But next year will be even bigger. We're going to shift the focus, and we're going to change the name from Touch a Truck to Wings and Wheels. We hope to attract an even larger percentage of Greater Nashua residents than ever before with static aircraft, vehicle displays, vendors, exhibits, and activities for kids. And we will be expanding the planning committee to include more airport people. So I'll be reaching out to some folks if anybody's interested in volunteering for that committee. We would welcome your input and your help on that. So I think part of the problem we had with the last 2 years in calling it Touch a Truck, we have a very hard time recruiting aircraft, and probably because it's called Touch a Truck. So shifting the focus more to aviation, calling it Wings and Wheels. Wings and Wheels events are very popular across the country. They draw a lot of pilots. So we'll next year will be a much different looking event, and hopefully we'll have a lot more people.
You're probably going to need a greater space though.
We will, Dick, and we're thinking about using the tower ramp, using that whole area and roping it off to park airplanes. We probably have plenty of room where we traditionally have had Touch a Truck for vehicles, for the vehicles. We'll keep those where they are. We'll use the entire tower ramp for aircraft and maybe some classic cars if some people want to bring some add that component to it as well. And there's plenty of grass area there where we can have vendors and exhibits and all kinds of displays and fun stuff for people to do. And we'll also use the grass tie downs as vehicle parking. Mm-hmm. So we should have plenty of parking. So.
Have you picked a date?
Not yet. Probably very.
One of the nicest things about the last one was the opportunity for shade in a hangar.
Yeah.
So the location can't move too far away from that aspect.
Yeah. Well, we want it to be during the summer because it is a summer fun event. The city of Nashua is very, very graciously working with us to make that part of their summer fun series. And we want to make sure that it happens before school starts. That's their timeline. So.
Good.
We'll be reaching out to Nashua Jet again and the college.
Keep it close to the hangar as well.
Yeah.
My recommendation.
Okay. And the our Gassama golf tournament raised over $12,000 in revenues. Of that, some $5,000 came from Nashua Airport businesses. So special thanks go out to the Nashua Airport Authority, Midfield Cafe and Infinity Aviation, Beacon Capital, Rick Boswell, Leland Aero Service, Exclusive Air, Nashua Flight Simulator, Nortrax, and Nashua Jet Aviation. Thank you all very much for participating and helping out. The proceeds go towards helping New Hampshire airports that aren't part of the National Plan of Integrated Airport Systems and also towards STEM education here in the state. So we're going to use some of that money to start ACE camps here in the state, and we're hoping to have one here in Nashua next summer.
Who won the golf tournament?
It wasn't me. I've never won a golf tournament. It was a group from
But not from National?
No, they weren't from National.
And I have one more question. Can you ask a question about the...
If it's related, yes, please.
It is related. The demolition of the underground storage tanks is happening when the bombers are here. I know the bombers are here again in the middle of the week. Do you think that'll be any...
No.
No interference?
Well, should be no factor. They're not co-located at all.
And they'll be here about the 21st to the 21st?
Oh, yeah, thank you. Sorry, that should have been on my report. They'll be here Monday at noon. They're staying through through Wednesday, the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. They'll be here.
Was that Collins or?
Collins Foundation, yeah. B-25, a B-17, and a P-51.
Yeah, the advertising for that is a little sketchy, I know. It's kind of, you know, we got a few flyers and stuff, but they were coming back because they weren't able to finish up.
It was listed in the Union Leader today, actually.
Okay.
And
is it going in a telegram?
I don't think so, no.
Was there long too late? Maybe.
Was there an email sent out to the community?
There was not. No, we posted it on our Facebook page and our website.
So
we
would call a telegram tomorrow, it might make Brent.
I would think they would pick it up from the Union Leader. They usually pick up stories.
Yeah, well, they also they did a pretty good narrative on it afterwards last time.
Yeah.
So they might just want to follow up on that. What would they call them?
Sure.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
You found the telegraph.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Moving on then. Airport engineer.
Yes. Good evening. Received a written report that's in all your packages. The number one aviation easement acquisition and project has been closed out as number two, the runway 1432 obstruction removal and approach survey. Just waiting, those are on Carol's desk now, just waiting for her to put some money with them and we'll get those closed out. And they've been on the books way too long. Number three is the installation of the perimeter wildlife fence and gates that has been completed. Steve just said that I think was talking. There's three minor things on the punch list. Once those are completed, then we will close that project out and be done with that. And the property acquisition, that's the acquisition of the Cliss property. New Hampshire's issued a grant for the Elkhorn property. And that grant is going back to New Hampshire DOT tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And we should get the, once the grant is approved, we'll get the approval and we'll start doing the demolition.
Okay, so that's 4 and 5 combined.
Yeah, 4 and 5 are one's contingent on the other.
Okay.
And under general items, there was a CIP meeting on August 31st. And Eric's in the process of updating the airport CIP. And Monday, there's a scoping meeting for the projects that are scheduled for September. And next year's projects, pavement reconstruction and maintenance and the airport master plan. And any other changes that you may have you'd like to incorporate.
Okay.
And that's all we have for the month.
And I want to make a point to, although Roy went over it, it kind of may have gone right over your heads, or may not have caught it, but we had a very important meeting a couple weeks ago with DOT and GAIL, and to review our construction improvement plan, and capital improvement plan, and we made some changes. All year long, we've been publishing a CIP that showed our budget next year for 2016 for $450,000 in asphalt. After discussing this, and the city has funded 5% of it. So the project is fully supported. But after discussing the condition of the asphalt, the availability of funds, the priority of asphalt with the feds, it was decided to double that number, okay? So we're going for $900,000 in approval from the feds and the New Hampshire DOT. They felt that it was a viable project. In addition, we've been pushing off the airport master plan for year after year after year. And the important thing about the airport master plan is that none of it currently takes a look at what our needs are after the runway construction and after some other improvements around here. So we accelerated it into 2016. So that's a total of $1.2 million of construction or master plan, and the sponsor share is $67,000, of which the city is funding $21,000, and that leaves us with $46,000 to fund internally. With the approval of the grant funds for the property acquisition projects, we will have the money. It's coming back to us, what we spent last year. So with that thrown out there, feel free to comment if you have any. Are there any questions from the rest of the board that were not in attendance this evening? Now, just the fact that we have asked for the money and asked for the project doesn't mean we have to accept it all. If they give us $900 and for some reason over the next couple months we decide to tailor it down to $450, so be it, but quite frankly, I can't think of any single need that this airport has that's higher than replacing asphalt and upgrading the asphalt between hangars. And the reason we really looked at this, after discussing how we would use the $450,000, we're just not taking up asphalt and putting new down or grinding it and doing a top coat. We're removing it and doing drainage structures and piping and for that reason, that $450,000 just does not last very long. We're not getting too much done with it. And pretty much that's that. We need to move on. Yes, sir.
Is any of that money being targeted for the Alpha ramp?
We'll know Monday. Uh-huh. We're going to walk and assess the airport and determine our priorities. another thing that we did is that we looked at the next 20 years and put together a program where we're addressing asphalt every 4 years, no more than 3 years between asphalt projects. Okay? So, which I included up there, but over the next 20 years, every fourth year, we have asphalt down for $500,000. And what I asked Gil for, and I was hoping to have before this meeting, and before Monday's meeting, so tomorrow you can work on it, Eric promised us a review of our total asphalt. Take all the asphalt in the airport besides the runway and put together a maintenance plan. If the expected lifespan of the asphalt is 20 years and we have 20,000 square yards, then we need to be doing, and we want to do something every 4 years, we need to be doing 5,000 square yards a year, every 4 years. So come up with a plan, how much is that cost us, and make sure we have a strategy to address our asphalt. We also talked about maintaining the asphalt with cracked ceiling equipment, how to go about doing that. We're not that we're repairing, but all asphalt cracks, and as soon as we redo it, the minute it cracks, we want to repair it. So this is something we need to do every year for the new runway, for any asphalt we work. We need to be on top of maintaining it. 2016 is $900,000 in taxi lane and asphalt. We call it taxi lane and pavement maintenance. It's actually between hangars too. We have airport master plan for 2016. For 2017, the following year, we have only one item, and that's purchase a snow removal equipment. And then the following year, in 2018, we have groove seal and remark runway 1432 for $630,000. And if you want to know any more what we have long-term plans to maintain the airport, just at, you know, give a call, email, we can email you a copy of this. Okay, moving on then. Old business. Marketing committee. Director Jackson's not here. Is there anybody on the marketing committee who would like to say something? And we'll move on. I'm not too sure what to do with the marketing committee at this point. Director Jackson has resigned. He's going to stay on the board until his replacement. But at this point, I don't think that there's any activities underway with the marketing committee.
Yes. Just the only thing I have to add, Mr. Chair, is that I had one of the solar companies that he had reached out to respond back to him and back to me. Thursday we're going to meet and take a look at what options might be available, similar to the exercise we went through earlier. So a different company, we'll sit down, we'll talk with them and see what they have to offer.
Great. Okay. We have comparisons.
Yeah.
So at this point, do we want to leave the marketing committee or do we
want to
dissolve it and
move
forward
with the time? I think we need to talk about that amongst us, and what we need is someone to take the leadership of the marketing committee and move forward with it. So maybe we just need to let everybody in the airport know, the users, tenants, the board members, that I think we'd like to look at it and see if there's leadership and people who want to get involved to move it in a new direction or continue moving it. So, and I've done nothing with that. I don't think anybody else has except for Gordon, and he's not here. Other old business is S&P review and proposed changes. For a moment, I'm going to delay that and go to new business so that we can address the request to conduct business at 83 Turner Road and add signage.
And
okay. Nice to meet you. So I didn't put anybody down. Anybody down to usually would have a director who would make a motion on your behalf and collude with you so that we would know what we're doing. So why don't we just turn this over? Are you familiar with everything? Okay, then you're in charge.
I'll make a motion to accept the business and signage for, how do you say, Pistolet. Women's Aviation Sportwear. It'll be based at 83 Permanent Road, down the hallway from midfield, so the clothes might smell a little greasy. But Marianne has been flying for a long time. She's been on the airport, and her husband Jim is around a lot. Very nice couple, and very fortunate to have you base your business here. So I'd like to make a motion to approve the signage and the business.
And I'll second it. Any discussion? I think the signage looks fine. Yes, sir.
I would just ask, do you know what material the sign will be made out of?
We have not even looked at that until we had an approval, but if it's based, if you need it to be a certain material, I can look for, you know, that specific thing.
Well, just from an operational perspective, I'd like to see something that won't blow away or create any kind of a fog hazard or any kind of safety issue.
No. We were looking to match something like Nashua Jets, so it'll probably be metal or it'll be Lexan or something. It'll be mounted.
That'd be great.
Absolutely, appropriately.
That would be great.
So, Marianne, this is also an opportunity for you to do a little marketing, so let me turn the floor over to you and maybe you want to tell everybody here what your plans are.
Sure. So I have a strong aviation background. I'm a pilot, instrument rated. I've owned airplanes for about 30 years. Off and on, had a couple of 172s based here. My husband and I now have a 177 here. I also was a part owner in an avionics shop, Bob Doppler, on Hanscom Field for 10 years. I was partnering with him down there, so I've been around the aviation businesses for a long time. Really have wanted to get back working on an airport. In the intervening years between aviation electronics and now, I've worked in technology, communications for healthcare operations for the most part. Like to get a better life balance back and come back into an aviation environment. And really, my goal is to forward women's interests. You know, aviation is highly male dominated. I'm sure you guys all know the statistics on men to women in 5%. Aviation. Yeah, and for instrument ratings, it's almost non-existent. So, aviation, I'm a skydiver. I have always forwarded women in sports, scuba diving, target shooting, all kinds of generally male-dominated. So as I started talking to women around these kind of activities, one of the things that they say all the time is there's no clothes for women, nothing attractive. So the things that make these kind of environments attractive for women are non-existent. So I decided to start this little company, Pistolette. My father used to call me a pistol. So that's why we're Pistolette. And 10 to 20%, depending on how well our business does, of our profits will go to women's education. And so we will have an advocacy program. And some of that would absolutely come back to the airport for aviation training. So that's the concept. It will be wholesale. I have spoken to Keith at the pilot shop. And we'll be directing people to his shop from a display case right near the midfield. Obviously, the walk-in traffic is going to be great. Hopefully, we'll help attract business to the cafe to us, and us to the pilot shop, and maybe make it more appealing to people that are flying in, you know, maybe help up the airport activity.
So is this at the old dance studio location?
It is. We're not going to do the pole dancing.
No,
pole dancing.
Right? So I thought,
why not?
Okay.
Poles have been removed.
When all the helicopters were, but the black lights are still there.
Okay, great.
Any questions?
I have a question.
Sure.
You mentioned earlier that the women that you had canvassed, I'm just curious, the ones that you canvassed, were they ones that were already pilots or just in general women?
It's really in general, and it's been across all different sports. So you'll see a lot of men bring their wives and girlfriends to fly with them, and they stand around on the airport and they don't really have a lot to attract them or to do. You know, they see it. So I've asked non-pilots women, would you be interested in something like this if it was available to you? And they would. They said that they would. I found that in scuba diving. I found that at the gun ranges. I found that at the skydiving community. And then a very small community of women pilots who I have spoken to as well. And they talk about actually their professional flight gear, which a lot of times is just men's clothing in smaller sizes. And they would like to have something that's actually designed for women. So those are the kind of feedback that I'm getting.
What I might suggest, because
sure,
when I hear that I don't want to be flippant when I say this, but the only thing that's keeping them from flying is the lack of clothing.
No, not at all.
But where I'm going with this is because it's only 5% of the pilot population, as we know,
mm-hmm,
are women. And it's been something I've been thinking about for 30 years, and I still haven't figured it out. What is it that's keeping them? During the course of your discussions with these women, what is it that's keeping the non-pilots, the other 95% of the 51% of our population, are keeping them from even coming in and even asking for any other than their loved ones, male loved ones, sons,
mm-hmm,
whatever? What is it that's keeping them? Have you asked them that? Because this is important to you.
Yes.
Because yours is exclusively women, whereas mine is, right, 5%.
Right.
I'd like that to be bumped up to 50%. That would be better. And I'm assuming you would, too. So what is it that's keeping them from learning to fly and flying for Optum?
So my business doesn't just target the people that are flying. So I get all of them, right? I'm trying to attract all of them. But I have asked that question many times over the 30 years that I've been flying. In fact, I used to do presentations to the WYMCA and the Girl Scouts of America. I used to do skydives into soccer fields, things like that, trying to get girls and young women interested. And I can only tell you that the environment, not so much at airports, but it feels male. There needs to be something that feels more attractive and available to women that feels like it's an environment for them. And clothing's a tiny little part of that, but I'm hoping that it's something.
Well, let me ask you, you've been flying for 30 years. What is it that attracted you to get into flying, other than male pilots?
It was that I was told for years that you ran like a girl, fought like a girl, you know, did everything like a girl, and I did not want to do anything like a girl. So I tried to be adopted into the male community as you know, I'm tough, I don't have to be female. But to attract the average woman, we've got to get softer, we've got to get more welcoming to women, we've got to put an environment out there that looks like it is built for women.
But what about, just the flying itself? Why isn't that, in and of itself, enough?
Science teachers are asking that same question. The technology industry is asking that question about people that are, you know, for coding, because women are generally very good at it once they take it up. Same with medicine. It took a long time for those industries to get women into them, and they had to do it by making it attractive to them.
Yeah, let's move on now. Okay, last question.
Well, this is important. If we can get 51% of the population here.
Jam-packed agenda.
That's a huge number right there.
I'm happy to explore this with you guys, and my goal absolutely is to bring women to the airport in any way that we can make them come here. I'm wanting to forward the business of the airport.
Agreed.
And Marianne, when you're ready, we still have a pretty, I won't say large group, but a good group of women who used to be part of it. A group of us who haven't flown much lately, who would get together. So we'll do an open house or something like that.
That would be great.
A little party.
I also have a pretty strong marketing background. So,
yeah.
You know, once we get up and running.
There's a woman flying group.
99.
Yeah, right. Okay. Sorry. Okay, so any other discussion on this? Okay, so the motion is to approve the business and assign the vote. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Welcome aboard.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Okay, the other item, the only other item that we have other than S&P review is lease policy development, and I am going to table that unless there's objection, because we got a full meeting tonight with the S&P. Okay, good. Okay, so that brings up S&P review proposed changes.
Yes, I did.
I'll allow a little bit of time for everybody to shuffle and get your S&P stuff out. Or maybe it's just me.
I did not, no. We have some of these handouts that we got from the Department of Transportation that detail the economic impact of the airports in the state of New Hampshire, as well as the economic impact of just Warfield here. I tried to make some copies of some, and I have a handful of copies here that I can hand out. And I can email this information to anybody who's interested as well. Thank you, Secretary.
And let's talk. talk off net about where that should be going. It'd be nice if key elements of the city government each got copies of those and other items. So maybe a little cover letter and send them out and make sure everybody's aware. This is substantial information that should be distributed. Yep. Okay, so the S&P review process. I'm gonna start off with just a short description of what I'd like to do and go into your comments, okay? So the Standards and Procedures Committee was formed last November, and their first meeting was in January. And for 6 months, they worked very hard and diligently. I don't have the total number of meetings, but I'd say it's probably 10. And this is 12 individuals spending 2 hours. I don't want to count all the hours, so there's a lot of man hours involved in this. And I'd like to say it was a meeting of the minds of professionals who did a thorough review of our standards and procedures. And what we have submitted from them is their recommendations for changes. Initially, the idea was the only change was absolutely necessary and move on, but actually what they ended up doing was a very thorough paragraph by paragraph evaluation of the S&P. So actually they did kind of only make changes if it was required, but if not changes were needed, they didn't really evaluate it. But what we have in our hands here is their final. And each of us have had it for a good 4 or 5 weeks, and I've asked everybody to review it and provide their comments and to me. And what I've done is on the master page, the master sheet in front of me, and what I've copied you via email is everybody's comments. So I'm only going to address the issues that you've identified that you would like to question or comment on, and we'll try to address those. If I jump through something, it's because nobody's commented and the consensus is that we agree with the S&P or to either make the change or keep the existing. So starting with the first page is the Nash is the introduction letter, and Sandy has some comments on it.
So the cover page, the revision date, of course, that'll be changed. Right? So page two says, with several flight schools and a collegiate professional aviation program. For the collegiate professional aviation program.
Well, let me ask, and over in general, and there's, you're right, we don't have one anymore, but in general, I think that this is not part of the S&P. And it's just an introduction letter that is.
So all this will be,
I think if somebody, okay. The question is, do we want to add a letter as an introduction of the S&P, or just eliminate this entirely because it's not necessary? Correct me if I'm wrong, but the committee did not review this letter other than to say, if we want to change it, somebody will change it.
That's correct.
I think it needs
something. I personally don't think that it's needed at all.
So you think we should just start with this page one?
Start with the table of contents. We should have a title page and table of contents, and we don't need an introduction letter. But if we do need one, we need to have Gordon write it.
I think we should have a little introduction letter. I think it's friendly.
I can go with that.
Yeah, I think it's important to start off with a friendly note of just the background. And I don't see any problem with having something like that.
Can we agree that it's not part of the S&P and in the review process, and we just add that after it's written?
After we vote.
Yeah.
Work on it for the next
day. Okay, so
it's not critical.
It's not part of the S&P. It's just an intro to it, and it is subject, it isn't in the table of contents, so it's not something that has to go through the rigmarole of changing the S&P and that kind of stuff.
Well, if we're going to vote on the next meeting, then we should have it ready for the next meeting.
No, we have to have it ready 2 weeks in advance to be publicized and advertised, and I guess what I'm saying is that I don't see the need to have that in there for that review process when it's just a letter signed by the board.
But it'll be distributed with the S&P if anyone wants to view it.
Yes, yeah. But it's a letter by the board.
Okay.
Not a part of the S&P.
Letter by okay. The board.
As a matter of procedure, I'd like to do what we just did here and have an informal tally and move forward. After when we're done with everything, then we can come forward and make a motion to accept or not accept and highlight certain things that we need to, okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, the table of contents. The changes were adding 3.0 right away in a change of table of contents. Other than that, I don't see any issues. Any other, I'll keep moving forward. I'm not gonna stop unless somebody has commented. In the general conditions, 1.1.2, in the underlying, it was added that the words herein after known as NAA. Richard, you had a comment.
No, I didn't have on 1.2. No. I have 1.24.
You didn't like the phrase herein after known as NAA?
I can live with that.
Okay.
I can live with it.
1.1.6, apron, the word ramp was added after apron. 1.1.8, the word staff was added in front of responsibilities, and at the end of the sentence, it's had movement area. 1.1.11, just the initials NAA. We're put in for authority, and if you're okay, I'll skip every one of those instances because there's like 30 in the entire book, okay? 1.1.13, the words FBO were added before operating rights agreement. 1.1.15, the words transit were entered after internet, and bore field entered before Nashville Municipal Airport.
So these you're going to skip over and
we'll just question. Oh, you're right, that's the one before.
Right.
Backing up to 1.1.14, several people commented that we need to add a space between the words. There's no word or more, essentially a or space more.
I'd like to suggest we disregard discussing grammatical or a type of errors.
Okay, I will just comment on it.
Yeah.
Okay? Back to 1.1.15, Richard, you had a comment concerning, but you,
no
comment,
no
good,
comment.
Draw that. 1.1.18, movement area, Richard, you had a comment.
I did, on 118, the word and included between the runway and taxiway was an addition, and I questioned why the word and was in there. I thought there was a comma in the original one, I thought, but if I can live with that, I'll pass on that. Because grammatically it sounds good.
Okay.
I should explain that I nitpicked the whole thing, and I went to your discussion in the minutes that you gave me to see why you made these changes, okay? So. He has my nitpicking, and I don't want to discuss a lot of that, okay?
All you have to do is say pass.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And we'll move ahead. 1.1.19, 1.1.24 was crossed out. It was on zoning, and it was deleted because the word zoning is not used anywhere in this whole document. There's no need to define it. Any objections? Okay, that takes care of three comments. 1.2.1, spelling issue and the word ensure. 1.2.2, deleted a phrase. Richard, you're okay?
Give me a moment. I can pass on that.
And the phrase was "and to prescribe other conduct." Right. That didn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Redundant.
1.2.4, we had four directors comment on it, Dennis, Mike, Richard, and Sandy. And probably is the most changes in this entire S&P, so I think we're going to be on 1.2.4 and 1.2.5 for a little bit. Who would like to open up? Mike?
I'll pass. Well, I'll come back. So is someone else.
Okay. Okay.
I just want to read the proposed, okay? Changes to these standards and procedures may only be adopted by NAA. I think the only phrase you included only in there, and it's really redundant because it may be adopted by the NAA after review and recommendations by the Standards and Procedures Review Committee. I refer mainly to the chapter 343 on the New Hampshire state law, that we are empowered to make those decisions, so nobody else is empowered to make them. So I look at that word only as being redundant. So I change that sentence to read, changes to these standards and procedures may be adopted by the NAA after review and recommendations by the Standards and Procedures Review Committee. I have no, there's something in here that I want to discuss to a certain extent. The original stipulation was changes to the standard procedures may be adopted by authority after review and recommendation, just like this is. The authority shall have the power to adopt changes to the standards and procedures after a public hearing. The only inclusion here is after review, recommendations are reviewed by the standards.
You're losing me. I probably know more about this than anybody.
Standards and Procedures Review Committee, okay? So what you did was insinuated yourself in that paragraph, okay? And I understand why you did, but I have objections to that in the sense that, not that to stipulate the review of the Standards Review Committee, but that it infers that we shall have the power to adopt the changes that have been approved by the Standards and Procedures Committee.
So what you're saying...
We have the power to adopt changes that are recommended by the Standards and Procedures Committee, you know? In other words, you're saying to me, I cannot adopt a change that you disapprove. That's the way I read that, okay?
And
you're taking my job away from me. I'm empowered to make that decision. You insinuate yourself in that paragraph that says that after you've approved it, we can adopt it, okay? So I think, Dennis, you had an amendment to that. It reflects my interest, but if you will, I'll read it.
Let's get some other comments first.
Okay, sure. Anybody take objection to that?
The may only portion of that was put in there purposely, and I've discussed it before, and mm-hmm. It's protection for the people in this airport for what's happened in the past. It's a form of checks and balances that need to be in there, considering our most recent history. That's the reason. It wasn't just put in there by mistake. It was put in there specifically.
So
and we discussed that ad nauseum.
Yes. And this was a heated debate during committee meetings. I don't favor the changes. I made it clear to them that I felt that it would be a hard sell to this board. But if I had to summarize, it was a good narrative. I followed 90% of it. If I could summarize what I think this changes, these extra words in here pretty much say that this board cannot make changes to the S&P unless the committee that works for us tells us we can. Mm-hmm. Okay? So it takes the power away from the board and gives it to the committee. And in some case, you know, if you look at it in a different way, the committee is comprised of members of the airport who have to live and breathe by the S&P. And the intent here is to make sure, hey, the S&P is part of the contracts, it's part of our leases, it's an operating agreement with all of our tenants. And the question can this board be trusted in the future to maintain the S&P, or do we need to put that responsibility on the committee? And I guess I personally would say that I think we should keep the existing 1.24 and make no changes to it. That'd be the simplest solution to this.
Okay, well, my comment?
Yes.
So I went through, thanks to Joe Carter, I found the minutes for when this actually occurred, and it's in the January 21st meeting. And a couple of comments by people during that meeting. Chairman Holland said, he said, it's fine how it is with a few words changed to ensure no rogue authority in the future goes nuts with rules. So, you know, I understand what almost happened. I get it. I was here. We all lived it. I also read through where Judge McLaughlin, who, believe it or not, I believe is a very wise man, said we are reasonable people here. Leave it alone. We are among friends here, is what Wes Lou said. And it's true. We're a community. I understand the only, you know, the way I still read it, it says the changes may or may not be adopted by the NAA. So the committee could go through all kinds of stuff and say, okay, here it is. And we might say, oh, never mind. We don't want to adopt it. That still gives the board the right to adopt it or to not adopt it.
Where does it say may or may not?
So it says changes to these standards and procedures may be adopted or may only be adopted. We don't have to adopt them. We can only adopt them after they go through it. But the word only.
So
it still said, you know, we might not have to adopt it. So if they're adopted, only after review and recommendation of the S&P committee. In the makeup of the S&P committee, it says the manager and 11 people drawn from parties in interest. But it doesn't say who's drawing.
That's 1.215. That's 1.215. Okay.
So, but I'm talking about this whole thing. So, if it doesn't, you know, whoever this committee is, right? It can be a new committee, it can be an old committee, that is not discussed. They're going to be reasonable people. We're reasonable people. And I do think the board has to have the power. And I don't want to call it power because we're not power hungry, most of us. So I think only is a little bit tricky. That word is a little tricky. We are empowered by the law, as Dick stated, to make decisions. That's why we have a board. I like the fact that we should trust each other and move forward. We're not where we were before.
We were surprised. I'm going to just jump in there, okay, because my head's going to come off here in a second. Because we're forgetting what just happened, and I don't want to ever forget what just happened. If it happened once, it can happen again. And this is put in there specifically for that reason. You can't deny that it happened. It did happen, and we don't want it to happen again. You guys are going to be on this committee for this board for right now. Remember, in the future, you're going to be one of us. This is your opportunity to make sure this never happens again. This will be your legacy.
It did not happen because this is a board of five individuals, diverse individuals, appointed by the city, with certain powers to run this airport. What happened in the past were the efforts of a single board member.
That's right.
That would have never, ever passed muster with the entire board if the airport community made it known they were not happy with it. I just don't see it going very far.
You're forgetting the personality. That person that we're talking about right now was overbearing, and there's nobody in this room that's dealt with him can deny that. It was misery for several people in this room.
Okay, so let's bring it to the potential solution. This board is given the powers to manage the airport from the city. For us to take that responsibility and delegate it to a committee of tenants and users and operators would, in my opinion, take it. We've been entrusted. We're a board that's accountable to the alderman and the mayor. They select us, they appoint us, they can remove us, okay, and impeach us, but they can't do anything with an S&P committee and individuals on the airport. The city owns the land. The city has the charter for this airport. They've created an organization called the National Airport Authority with board members who are responsible. And if we're not, we're gone. Okay, I just don't see how the city can manage and have the effective control of the airport, which it, I think we all agree it should have, by delegating responsibilities like this to another member. Okay,
can I please ask a question? I don't know anything about what you guys are referring to, but the way that this is normally structured, and it's even this way in Congress, a committee is appointed and they give information to the board and the board chooses to adopt it or not. But
exactly.
The board cannot act without it going through committee.
Right, which is what we currently have.
We've done that.
Well, that's actually what the may only is. What
that's
she's
it.
Saying is
that's
the may
exactly
only.
Exactly right.
That's what she's saying. Make sure we understand
that.
That.
And that's all the way to the United States Congress.
Okay, well,
set up.
But at the same time, the committee, okay, you just said that the board may or may not act on what the committee recommends.
But it can't act outside of what the committee, it can't just decide, okay, the committee has recommended this, we're going to do something completely different.
Unilateral.
It has to go through the committee. The committees are appointed with that authority.
Okay, go on.
But it can't rubber stamp what the committee is offered.
If you decided to, you could,
yeah,
but normally it means you negotiate back to the committee, and then it's something that gets, again, submitted based on a conversation between the populace, right, that the committee is appointed to.
Mm-hmm.
This is how the Congress is set up.
Yeah, Congress is set up that way by its own rules. Like it can suspend at any time that it wants.
Right.
Congress can, in fact, in a full session of the Congress, do anything that it's entitled to do. And in your case, since the ability to create rules for the airport is statutorily given to the Airport Authority, I think not only from the general statutes, but there is a New Hampshire public law that specifically establishes the Nashua Airport Authority.
Right.
You can't give that away. You can say in the procedures that you're going to solicit an opinion from the Standards and Procedures Committee, but if you then choose I understand, believe me, I understand the situation you're talking about. I have some history there myself.
Another club.
But you cannot be bound to that without a change to the state law. So I would suggest if you're prone to make a language change, just say it will, essentially you want to establish the custom that you will refer the stuff to the
Because it's in our bylaws. We have our own bylaws.
Let's change that.
Go ahead, Alderman.
Sorry.
The question I have is,
Do you anticipate the authority wanting to make changes or trying to make changes without convening a committee?
No.
I don't, but I think the committee
does. Okay, I agree with that. I'm glad to hear that. What about moving the word only? What if you said changes to these standards and procedures may be adopted by the authority only after review?
Exactly.
We did, yeah.
After review.
Yeah.
The new.
Perfect.
So you just move the word only from.
But it's. Only take the word after.
To authority only after review.
Yeah. Do we even need the word only? Because I think the intent, I think really the intent here and the decision is the committee doesn't want any issue to go before the board and the board to take any action unless the committee approves. Unless it goes through the committee and the committee approves it. Because later there's other wording elsewhere that kind of concretes that in, okay? And so the question here, really what it comes down to, is there any board member who wants to delegate our authority to the committee level?
Well, we can't even do that. We created the committee and invited them to assist us in making a determination about the future and standards and procedures. You did that. Mm-hmm. I accept that. You did a great job, but you can't tie my hands. And you did that with this, when the sentence reads, recommendations by the Standards and Procedures Committee, the NIH shall have the power to adopt the changes that are approved by the Standards and Procedures Committee.
The words that are approved by the Standards and Procedures Review Committee were added to make it, to limit the ability of the board to take action unless the committee approved it.
But we can't give them that privilege because we own it, okay? It should read adopt changes after a review by the Standards and Procedures Committee. We're not denying that there's not a Standards and Procedures Committee, and we're not denying your submission.
But or we need to go there.
We have to protect our right to make the decision as you're empowered to do. We can't delegate that to you. I mean, you have to, it's a case of trust. We're all here doing the best for the aviation community and the greater community.
Just
once we don't do that, we're gone.
Yeah, I don't want to turn this whole meeting into an issue on 1.2.4, okay? Okay, so I just want to know from a board member, is there anybody here who approves this as written? Okay, good. I feel that the wording of the existing 1.2.4 is weird, unclear, ambiguous, whatever you want to call it. I think it could be clarified. I don't claim to have all the answers, but I prepared something that Dick's going to read to you. Now you can read it, Dick.
Okay. I'll read it. But,
it kind of goes the other way around, okay, to clarify that the board is in control, not the committee. But it also clarifies that the S&P changes must go through a committee process so that professional, competent users and tenants in the aviation industry have the opportunity to advise this board, which can be made up of anybody, okay? And that is an important procedure. But it takes away any delegation of the final approval. So go ahead.
You wrote a very wordy response to 1.24, and I have amended some of the language. If you just trust me to read it my way, okay? And then you can all nitpick it. I'm trying to avoid the impression of you having a co-responsible for making these judgments, okay? So anyway, the new 1.2.4 reads, changes to the standards and procedures may be adopted by the NAA after review by the Standards and Procedures Review Committee. The Standards and Review Procedures Committee is to provide their recommendations within the time frame granted by the NAA not less than 60 days after formation of the SPRC, abbreviated. Upon receipt of the SPRC recommendations, or lapse of the time permitted, the NAA shall have the power to adopt changes after public hearing for which notice has been given by publication, posting, and mailing to all parties of interest. Now, what does that do? It creates, number one, it takes away that phrase about that we can only pass what you approve, and it gives you a 60-day time frame to get together to review any changes and pass them off to us. And it gives us the right to accept or reject. That's what it does. Now, I know you're listening to me reading this, and it can do that. And I think it's wordy, but it answers my concern, because I feel that 1.24 initially in the old or current SOP suffices my needs, okay? And I understand why you want to be mentioned in the 1.24, but I can't give you the power to rule over the authority.
There are one or two choices to make here. One is to request that the send it back to me and request them to rewrite it, or that we just disapprove the changes and keep the existing.
I'd like to send it back to committee. I'm going to send it back to committee to rewrite.
Send it back to the committee with the suggested language.
With a clear statement that we will not delegate our authority, but they could clarify the procedure to make sure that, and I think just clarifying the procedure would help eliminate what happened last spring. Okay?
I'd like to point about Dave saying move that word only, because I think that makes all the difference in the
world. So I think we can move forward with that context. We'll send it back to committee. Yes, sir.
Joe Carter, for the record, committee member, and I'd like to try to give a little perspective of how this came about this way. First of all, I don't think we have an issue, really. The committee never intended to try to take authority away from you folks. We want to be in the loop for making recommendations and considering things, but we weren't, I don't think any of us anticipated that we would have to give our approval before we could do anything. So this language, which you're interpreting to mean that, perhaps should be changed. Maybe the word approved be recommended or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was the committee's intent to do that. The committee felt that whenever major rules like this were being changed or considered, that a committee like this ought to have a say to review it, make recommendations. The board doesn't have to accept any of the committee's recommendations if they don't want to.
I think we all agree with that.
Well, we
And to interpret that we have to approve things before you change them, I think, wasn't intended.
Right.
I think maybe part of the board intended it.
Yeah. I have to disagree with what Joe just that last part. Because I'm speaking for pretty much everybody in the committee about that. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I was at the committee meeting when this was discussed and voted on, and I point out to them that the term they were using would not be approved by this board, because you're asking the board to tie its own hands behind its back.
Yeah, I understand. I'd like to address that, because listening to you, Dick, on this, I think there's a possible misinterpretation.
Please.
You're not relinquishing power, and nobody's asking anybody to relinquish power. You still have the power and the control to initiate. The committee doesn't have the power to initiate, and you also have the final approval, which the committee doesn't have. You see what I'm saying? So you're not relinquishing any power.
Yes, definitely.
And therefore, it falls within your charter. Everything is covered.
But the way it was written contradicts what you said. I mean, I can only interpret the English language by reading a written word. And I found that there was a phrase in there that basically said, I can only approve what you recommend. And that's not what you intend.
If we want to change the speed limit to 20 miles an hour, and we send it to committee, and the committee comes back and says, no, we want to keep it at 15 and 35, then this board, by issuing and voting on a document, is pretty much saying, hey, we we can't do this now, unless we're violating the S&P. Now, this board creates the S&P, and we can change it anytime we want to, but as soon as terminology like that becomes part of this S&P, then it's in every single contract out there, which is part of legal documentation and agreements and whatever. So we can't be allowing something to go forth that is part of legal documents that we can't abide to in the future.
Okay. When you say legal document, you're talking about leases or something?
Every lease is specific. Every lease and operating agreement this airport has refers to the S&P. Okay, that is why the committee is necessary. Because by going to the committee, and the most of the committee members have contractor leases with the authority, by going to the committee, the board is going through the process of changing every contract in existence at the airport. And we're doing it legally. Okay? So, but we have to ask the committee your opinion, get your recommendations, but we don't have to require your approval to take action on this subject. Okay, I guess that's the difference.
Again, this, like I stated before, this is about checks and balances. This is perfectly democratic. There is no negative. There's no downside to this. Yeah. And, you know, as far as a legal mind, I honestly just can't see how that would bust your charter. I just don't see it.
Well, yeah,
especially the way it's worded. And that could use some fines.
I see the board being the bureaucracy empowered and directed to make these decisions on behalf for the airport. I see the committee being the professionals that review the options and make their recommendations to the bureaucracy. There are no provisions to turn control, power, however you want to control it, over to the committee. And I think the rest of the board agrees with me on that aspect. So, with the rewrite, I propose we send it back to the committee, get their responses.
We can give them a couple of samples if we want to do that.
Yes.
We'll send it back to the committee. Okay. You want to move on?
Yes, I'm just making notes.
Carol, any comments from you on that?
Well, I think after the discussion, I'm going to have, you know, Steve, with all due respect, I'm going to have to agree with Director Mushigian and say, yeah, the wording does need some change.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I think at face value, it does feel like it's taking a specific responsibility away from NAA. We need to leave it with NAA, but, you know, to Joe's points, we need an inclusive process. We need something where, you know, a group of professionals, et cetera, you know, will be convened and will provide recommendations to the NAA, you know, who ultimately will make a decision. So I would agree to send that back to committee.
Thank you, Carol. Next, 1.2.5 is an addition. The entire paragraph is an addition, and it involves procedures for forming a standards and procedures committee. And who's first? Because, well, there's four comments on this.
I have no problem with it, except that I passed my concerns over to you, and you have kind of rewritten 1.2.5, so I'll let you...
Since all four board members had a comment concerning 1.2.5, I rewrote it in what I thought the board would find appeasing, okay? Does anybody want to comment on the existing first, though? But, you know, the recommendations by the committee.
My comments were all just, and I think Farrell responded to my email the way it was worded, the chairman and some of the sentences weren't, in my opinion, worded quite right.
I agree with pretty much most of what's said here. It pretty much mirrors with what we did to form the current committee. Okay. My issues were that just because we found that process to work for us at this time period, doesn't mean we should restrict the decisions and activities of people moving forward, okay? So I will read up front what my proposal is, and I think you listen, it's pretty much the same, but it's less restrictive. And I'll read it. The SPRC shall be formed by the NAA as needed to review proposed changes and to provide recommendations to the NAA. The following guidelines are recommended for forming the SPRC, with emphasis on recommended. A, at least 8 members appointed by the NAA, with emphasis on at least. It doesn't mean you can't have 12, but there's be a minimum of 8. B, a quorum consisting of 2/3 total members. C, members to include the airport manager and parties in interest. D, the chairman and recorder to be selected by majority vote of the SPRC. E, the SPRC may add or remove members by a 2/3 vote. Again, this allows the SPRC itself to start at 8 or whatever number they pick, but have a minimum 8, but if they want more, they can vote more on the committee. Minutes of the meetings are to be provided to the NAA. SPRC recommendations to the NAA are to carry a 2/3 vote quorum of total membership. In other words, what the SPRC sends forward as recommendations to the board are to have a quorum vote. And lastly, recommendations lacking a quorum may be submitted to the NAA as a minority opinion. Okay, so I think it's less restrictive using the words at least and the words recommended, and I feel that I would rather see no 1.2.5 than one that dictates future procedures. Jan?
I like your proposal. You want to take it back to the committee from the meeting?
Absolutely.
I'd like to add something because the inference here is that the committee is a standing committee and doesn't terminate. But in the original, we had upon recommendation of the chairman, the NAA will adjourn and dissolve the committee. In this one, we won't address that.
The SPRC, you can add that.
We could add that, but I don't think it's necessary.
I think.
Because the Standards and Procedures Review Committee will recommend to the board, okay, time to get rid of the committee
right.
And dissolve the committee.
Yeah, but see, in the proposal we just read, we omitted that. So I would suggest, like.
But this board can adjourn the committee anytime we want to. It's our committee.
Yes, we can, but.
And it's not
usually
clear. It's not clear if they're referring to the committee chair or the NAA chair.
Right.
Well, that should be stated.
That should be fixed.
That should be stated.
Right.
Which one do you think it is?
Well, I think if their task is completed, because we've given them a simple task, one task at a time, unless there's a continuation, then they won't adjourn. So
I don't think anybody in the committee can dissolve the committee. I think the committee is formed by this board.
I'm saying
right.
Yeah.
Okay, and that we would dissolve it.
Yes, yes. But
okay.
We don't have a process for that. We talk about initiating the committee and how it's constructed, but we don't talk
yes.
about
so when
the
they
journey.
Think they've done their job, they will say the chairman will say to us, hey, I don't think we have anything more to talk about. We're done here, and we'll say, okay, thank you very much. Right?
So,
so
yeah.
Upon yes, Farrell.
Farrell Woods for the record. So yeah, I agree with that. I think the intent was, item G, the intent was to say, SPRC chairman as opposed to NAA chairman. But, the SPRC chairman would recommend to the NAA board, once we are in violent agreement on all the changes and stuff, that hey, we're done here. We recommend that the SPRC you know, be dissolved at this time.
Agreed, and I think that it's apparent it doesn't need to be stated. I think it's a normal process, but I don't have a problem adding it in there.
But we can say, we can say as PRC chairman. Yeah.
Well, it may be understood by.
Are you taking notes on this?
Some people probably not understood by all.
Well, I'm taking notes. Plus, we have the recording.
Yeah. Yes, Mike.
Who decides the 11 members or whatever number of members from the party of interest to serve on the committee?
That's a good point. It doesn't say, but the NAA is the one. It says right here, at least 8 members appointed by the NAA.
In Dennis's new proposal.
Oh, in the new proposal.
In the one we sent back. Okay. I did clarify that.
Okay.
Okay, so the overall consensus is to...
The overall consensus is to return 1.2.5...
As written.
As
written.
And then the suggested amendment back to the committee.
Which is what I wrote up, plus an I that says something about adjourn.
Okay.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, moving on. I think that was, guys, 80% of... what we had to review right there. I think the rest of it's going to go quickly. 1.3.3 typos, delete the word of. Paragraph B, applicant's primary business, and contact information to be added. For Mike's suggestion.
Phone number, contact person, and email address.
Would it be okay if we just said in contact information?
Sure.
Okay. After the word if applicable was added at the end. 1.4.2, no changes. 1.4.3. I would like to add the words, but not limited to. In the last sentence where it says, the airport will consider renewal of a lease based on the following factors. But should be based on, but not limited to, the following factors. I'd like to send that, add that inclusion. You agree? Okay.
Based on, but not limited to?
Yeah.
Well, you should ask a question. Why do you want to include that?
I think there's a lot of things to consider. This is more of an instructional to let people know if you want to renew your lease, what we expect. But I don't want to limit the authority's ability to renew a lease strictly to these three items. By publishing, if I have a reason not to renew a lease because whatever the reason may be, we don't want to be in court fighting because it's not one of these three reasons.
But the reason for having these things listed here is to give someone a heads up so they know what they're going to be evaluated on.
Right.
If you show up and you say you didn't make coffee well,
right,
that's not fair.
Right, but if there's some other factor.
Are you trying to say, if you're not using it for aircraft use, is that what you're trying to say?
No.
Well then,
no.
I mean, think of what you're trying to say and say it, rather than just trying to...
I couldn't possibly come up with all the things that might happen for a lease not to get removed. I mean, renewed. Maybe the person's not improving the facility, okay? The physical condition of the facility might be, might cover that issue. What if the airport wants to own the facility, wants to take it back? What if the airport wants to have a grass field where a hangar used to be? What if that's in the master plan? That's not in this, okay? So, you're right. I think this paragraph is more to provide a guideline under normal circumstances when there's no extraneous reason. You know, this is what you need to do to be a good tenant and will be a good landlord to renew your lease. So there could be other mitigating circumstances. Yes.
Well, someone's investing in a building on this leased land, and to invest in a building with the idea that it could be any kind of circumstance that would prevent that lease from being renewed. I mean, it's kind of hard to invest on that land, I would think.
No, because the term of your lease covers your investment. Who would make an investment on leased property where your return isn't realized during your lease? This is a renewal of a lease. Okay, what do I have to do? I think the words about limited to pretty much keep this out of the courts if a lease is not renewed. And Farrell.
So, Farrell Woods for the record. So two concerns there, or actually one question. Has the airport ever declined to renew a lease for cause, if you will?
We haven't had a lease expire.
60 years.
All of our leases are 40 years old. I don't think a lease has ever expired.
Dennis, it says here the airport will consider renewal of a lease based on the following factors.
Right.
So why do we have to put "but not limited to"? It says
because
we'll consider
we may have to consider other factors that are other than these three items. But if you narrow our focus, okay, to a few particular reasons, and we have other reasons outside that focus, then this can go straight to court and say, you know.
But it doesn't say we have
that's
to.
That's not a valid reason not to renew.
It says the airport will consider renewal. It doesn't say that we will definitely renew. Or
can I make one other suggestion?
Yes.
Since this is the S&P, if the time comes when you want to add to this list, convene the committee and discuss it then.
Okay, let me ask you a question. If the airport authority decides not to renew a lease, okay, and the reason is not on this list, what do you think the tenant's going to do?
Demand that it be renewed.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the lease expired. We're talking about a 40-year lease that we granted, and it expires, okay, and we're required, unless it's one of these three items, to renew that lease. Now, what about the master plan? What about building a new runway? What about, you know, having changing the hangar areas to jet areas because that's the only place we can expand? I'm just throwing things out there because there's alternatives here. But when a person invests in a piece of property that's leased, the normal intent is that the lease is over when the lease is over. You don't have to tie the owner's hands and say, if I meet these three conditions, you have to renew it. Go ahead.
Okay, Farrell Woods again. So I want to get back to Sandy made a very good point a moment ago. The word consider was left in there. That's not a requirement. The NAA is not required to renew the lease. Said the NAA may consider renewing the lease. I think that gives you your out.
Yeah, but it says based on the following factors.
But
so we're concerned about.
It won't allow us to put a fourth factor in there.
How about 10 years goes by and we have a different vision for the airport and somebody's approaching their 40th year and they're entitled to another 20-year extension, but we could deny that because of that master plan, let's say, right? But this paragraph says there's only three conditions that they have to meet. It doesn't address the master plan. We're thinking ahead.
I understand, I guess I respectfully disagree.
Okay, Joe. Give Joe a chance.
I think you have to be awfully careful when you
deal with conditions of a lease, because people quite often have to get a mortgage to build on that property. The banks are going to be looking at whatever agreements you have. And
you're exactly right. And it's, again, to my point, a mortgage to buy something is going to require your lease to be able to cover your mortgage.
Yes.
And it's very much like if you're going to invest in a property, you need a lease to cover your investment with a return. But once your mortgage is paid up and once your investment is covered, the question is, what rights do you have to continue that lease beyond that term of that lease? If a landowner offers to lease their land, what are their rights to get their land back when the lease is over? Okay? And that's what I'm trying to protect. The owner of this land is the city of Nashua, not the person who signed a lease back in the 80s. Okay, so I don't want anything in this S&P that's going to restrict or complicate any renewal terms or non-renewal terms. And I think the words "but not limited to" are necessary to do that. And I'm only one board member. So
well, I mean, it's generic and general in nature, so it opens the opportunity for us under any circumstances other than those three to be able to deny somebody that. We've never reached that point. Ultimately, 20 years from now, we will. Because we generally, after 40 years, we give them another 20 years. Unless there's something in the master plan, right? But ultimately, yeah, the lease is over. I have a property at Hampton Beach. I had a lease on the land, 99 years. It expired about 15 years ago. I had previously sold the property before it expired. I didn't own the land. I sold that piece of property, and when the lease expired, they jacked up the tax rate. From I was paying $250 a year. They jacked it up to $5,000 for the piece of land, okay? And it keeps going on and on and on. Anyway, they went to court, and the city of Hampton had to offer the people an opportunity to buy the land that they sat on. And was selling for $50,000. So it went from $250 to $50,000. The point is, at the end of the lease, who knows what's going to happen? That's all.
Mike.
Why do we even need this provision?
Agreed. But the committee left it in there. I just felt that it needed clarification.
Right.
I think 1.3 is okay to leave in. I think it needs those words, but not limited to. It's just more of an instructional. But I'm okay taking it out entirely. Yes.
Does the lease specify terms about renewal? What does the lease say about renewal?
Most leases are for 20 years with like an automatic option for renewal for another 20 years at the option of the tenant, not the airport authority. And then it offers up a third 20-year period, but basically if terms are acceptable between both parties, okay? So at that point, it's down to the negotiating table. But it does say in another portion of the contract that might even cause more confusion is that I think it implies that extension should not be unreasonably withheld. Okay, so define that. I think we certainly don't need to add to it. And that's why lease policy is on the agenda for something to look at over the next year. And because there's going to be people who want to come and renew their leases soon. We're under 10 years for the vast majority of our leases are in the 80s. And we're coming up to the 10-year mark, okay, and some of them want to renew. Yes?
If you have language in the leases about the terms of renewing the lease.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would suggest not putting language that may conflict with that in your standards. I mean, the language in the lease is what's going to bind in the end anyway.
And there's not really anything in the lease that, that provides procedures for renewal, but it does say that the lease adheres to the S&P. So, but by putting something in the S&P, you're putting it in the lease. But you're right, we won't want to, don't want to conflict with it.
And I think the language that you just cited, what it's going to suggest is what that in was put the renewals will not be
limited to.
Will not be unreasonably withheld.
Right.
But if you've got that in each of the leases that you write, then I wouldn't put it anywhere else.
So, I guess the decision is to...
Let's table 1 point.
No, no, it's not table. It's just a...
For the discussion.
Yeah.
Right. 1.4.3, do we want to accept it as is? Does anybody want to accept it as is? Okay. So shall we, do we want to send it back to committee or make a modification to it or make a deletion to it?
I'd like to table it for discussion individually and then come back and discuss it and see if we have a consensus about what
can discuss it too while they're
discussing it.
Well, we're not going to do that yet, though.
I know. But
yeah. Okay. So. Okay. What do you think, Mike? You have a solution?
I can go either way for either deleting it or adding those words.
The words, but not limited to. And I feel exactly the same way. Either delete it or add the words, but limited to. So, is there anybody who wants to jump on? What are you looking for? Maybe I can help you. The lease renewal?
No, I'm just I'm looking for the terms in this lease. You know, that says will not be
unreasonably held.
Unreasonably held. I'm looking for that.
Yeah, it may not be in it.
No.
But it would be right after the renewal for the third point.
The term.
Yes.
I was going to say that sounds like it might be good to go back to committee, and as an alternative to the, if you really want to add some language, as an alternative to the phrase you just said, how about including something about the master plan, if that's the specific issue. But I think what Brian said is true. We don't want to have redundant wording. If there's something in a lease, just leave it there and not even keep it in there. But I would suggest sending it back to committee for them, you know, for their input.
Well, I can go along with that. We sent it back to the committee with the idea that we were asking the committee not to limit the airport authority's options.
Okay.
Okay. Moving on. 1.1.4, Sandy, you had a comment.
1.4.4.
Okay, so 1.4.5, there were three comments from Dennis, Dick, and Sandy concerning the added phrase, if the proposed rule or regulation modifies or supplements these standards and procedures, then NAA will have 90 days from adoption to complete the process established in, again, 1.2.4 of these standards and procedures, or the proposed rule shall become null and void. So, in other words, if we propose a rule and the S&P committee does not give us their feedback and approval within 90 days, then it becomes null and void.
Suppose the Standards and Procedures Committee purposely does not respond.
Right.
We're all friends here, not
friends. Well, we can keep the intent of what the committee wants in there, but reverse, or I guess the phrase we change it slightly. The proposed rule or regulation modifies or supplements these standards. We can change that to say, if the proposed rule or regulation conflicts with these standards. In other words, if the board wants to make a rule or regulation that conflicts with the S&P, that's a standing order, then it needs to go through the S&P committee.
Yeah.
And that takes out, you know, if there's a rule that's not, if there's a procedure that's not addressed in the S&P that we want to add that modifies or supplements the S&P, then I don't think we should be restricted.
I would propose we scratch after 1.24 of these standard procedures, period, scratch the other proposed rule should become null and void. I think we should just await their decision.
Okay. For the proposed rule, he wants to scratch the last portion of this sentence right here.
So I would propose the, as you just stated, if the proposed rule and regulation conflicts with these standards and procedures, the NAA will have 90 days from adoption to complete the process established in 1.24 of the standards and procedures.
I agree.
Could I comment on that?
Yes.
You might want to put some language in there to address the issue that was just brought up, which says basically, if you don't hear back from the standards committee in 90 days, that's considered a negative recommendation.
Right.
Because I don't think you can delegate the ability to have pocket vetoes to the committee, but you do want to make sure that that process is not open-ended.
What do you mean by negative recommendation?
So you're going to send, you propose an amendment, you send it to the standards committee.
Or we propose something that's not addressed in the S&P, like if you walk on the left side of the road, raise
right.
your hand.
So if you send that to them and it doesn't, they're going to send you a, we recommend doing it, or we don't recommend doing it, or we recommend using this language instead. If you don't hear back in 90 days, consider that to be the same as they sent you back a note that said they don't like it. But at least it gives you the closure to that process that, you know, it's not just held forever for the
purpose. And it doesn't restrict the S&P, the board, from acting on it. It's just a negative response.
If you don't like flies,
did you get them? Did you get them?
Okay. I didn't get them. I didn't either. Wasn't quick enough. Oh, look.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Let the record report.
Okay, so back to committee with our recommended changes, and we're trying to no response. I'll write in a no response, negative response.
Great.
I like that idea. Okay, 1.4.6, actually between 1.4.5 and 1.4.6, we have a deleted paragraph that both Richard and Sandy commented on, and that deleted paragraph, subject matter there is, no person, firm, or entity shall act as an FBO independent operator, blah, 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 blah. I can tell you that I think it was almost unanimous to take that out because operating agreements with FBO are addressed later in the S&P. And I think it was unclear if you had a problem with that or just wanted to point out that it was deleted.
Yeah, I had no problem.
Jumping to 1.4.10, punctuation, 1.4.11, punctuation. 1.5.1, sentence deleted. Richard, you didn't object to the sentence deletion, just want to point it out. So I'm going to move on. And there's actually a paragraph deleted and two sentences deleted, and I've got Richard, you, and Sandy commenting on that, but no objections.
Yeah, I just noted the change, that's all. Okay.
Okay. 1.5.2, section B. Actually, it's punctuation, and yeah. Two sentences were deleted. And again, Richard and Sandy, you had comment on it.
I had comments about the insurance part of it. Insurance plan is stated in column B of the current SOP. Maintain public liability insurance with companies licensed to do business in New Hampshire. Which policies can be shall be countersigned by a New Hampshire registered agent. And I think we had a discussion the last month about somebody coming in, and my question was about what they needed to have insurance. He wasn't running a business. That was, maybe there. You know, I'll pass on that. I'm good. Unless you have something else.
Yes.
No, I don't. Sandy, we've asked you over on two items. I'll come back to you real quick. You had a comment on 1.4.7.
Okay.
Is there something you want to bring up or pass on?
That's just for all leases.
What's your question?
We are located in the area of access to the airport. Washington.
Okay, all right. If you want to come back here, bring it up. Okay, I'm not going to bring it up though. Okay, if you need to, do so. And Sandy, on 1.5.1, you had a comment concerning deleted sentences and deleted paragraph.
Yeah, we can skip that.
Because so you're passing. 1.5.2, we have colons and periods, punctuation, the sentences deleted, and C and D were reworded. Sandy has some comments on that.
1.5.2. So the insurance stuff, I'm just concerned about that.
Your comment was contained some periods and some semicolons. That's the only thing I have.
Yes.
Okay. F was added on 1.5.2, and there's no comments on it. There's punctuation though. So moving ahead. One point 5.4 segment deleted. 1.5.5 sentences all dumpers on airport should be locked was added. Richard, you had a comment.
Yeah.
Am I moving too fast?
No.
No, I'm good.
Trying to only get, I'm only going to points that are critical that somebody has commented on.
So tell me again, it was added, the dumpsters?
All dumpsters should be locked, were added.
Yeah.
1.5.5.
Can I go back to 1.2.5.2F?
Yes, you can.
Are there any licenses or permits the city would require?
Yeah.
Not that I'm aware
of. Well, business.
There's
city licenses.
Like, I have to have a license to do
it.
Yeah.
Do you want to add the word city, state, and federal?
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay. Mr. Chair?
Yes.
The Section 8 says abide by the current requirements of the City of Nashville, State of New Hampshire, Federal Government, New Hampshire Division of Aeronautics, Rules and Rights.
Yeah, it does say
city. I think it's covered.
looking at it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I plan to see it in Nashville.
Okay, agree? Leave it out?
Okay, move on.
Thank you. Moving on to 2.1.1. Sentence deleted. Richard. Pass or comment? 2.1.1.
Pass.
Turn the page. 3.0.1 added the phrase, the paragraph, vehicles and pedestrians shall yield right away to aircraft in motion and emergency vehicles. No comments. 3.1.2 added a phrase, unless authorized by airport management. 3.2.1 is added the entire phrase. Richard, you had a comment?
No, I am
pass. Okay, 3.2.8 under vehicles. Richard, you had a comment on the speed limit.
It eliminated overnight parking. I had a question on whether that should be reviewed.
Overnight parking, the feeling of the committee was that there's a lot of people who may fly in and need to spend the night out of their wing. There's people who might want to camp out for a few days, provided they, check with the conditions, and there shouldn't be any restriction here, and that the airport manager could police that. Besides, people are reading the S&P. Are not the campers.
Yeah.
Okay? Right?
Yeah.
Anything I want to add on that? It was a comment about dumb people. That was good. How about speed limit? You thought it was a little ambiguous and unclear. Shall not exceed 15 miles per hour, but if you're in the urban area, you can go 35. Okay.
One more question on 3.28. Speed limits within the airport security fenced area, that's airside, right?
Yes.
Shall not exceed 15 miles an hour.
But if you're on the runway or taxiway, you can go faster.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Okay.
It's just to get you out of there.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Before a plane lands on you.
I thought it was conflicting in my mind, but then I understand.
Okay.
Yeah.
The next paragraph, it was a typo. Everybody commented on it. It should be D, aircraft shall have the rights of way at all times in no instance shall a vehicle moving aircraft. And I guess on the overnight parking, I'll come back to it because everybody, that was deleted. Two paragraphs were deleted. And if anybody has any other comments on overnight parking, if not, we'll move on. Okay. To paragraph 3.3.3 on snow removal. Changes were added to add 3.3.4 and 3.3.5. Richard, you're the one who commented. I think you're just noting that they were added.
Yeah.
So pass. 4.0. Sandy, you got a comment on 4.1.2.
It reads one of the FBOs. And that may need to be updated because we only have one FBO currently, right?
Correct. If you cross out one of the and put an FBO, transit aircraft will contact an FBO,
mm-hmm.
and delete the apostrophe S for overnight parking,
mm-hmm.
then that resolves that. Everybody agree?
Yep.
Okay. So noted. 4.2 fueling. 4.2.2. Richard, you had an issue with electrically bonded and grounded vibe. I think it was just a note to change.
No, that was included. That was in addition, so I pass.
Okay, Sandy, on 4.2.4, you had a comment.
We can pass. We don't have a smoking policy on the airport. 100 feet from smokers or other, nobody's smoking in the airport.
But this is keeping fuel trucks away from smokers, not smokers away from fuel trucks.
Minor.
I mean,
don't do that.
Maybe we should be smoking.
Okay, but that's exactly what this is doing. Okay, so anyway, I don't have an issue or that we need to address it. The committee might want to look at it if that's. Okay, 4.2.4.
5, no, actually nothing there. We had a deleted paragraph that Richard commented on, I think it was just pointed out.
Yep.
4.2.5 dealt with this only persons trained under current major fuel company standards. Since someone commented on it, I will move on. 4.3, de-icing. There is no comments on the de-icing paragraph, but at this time, Mike and Dennis both had comments concerning washing aircraft. Mike, you want to?
It's not mentioned in here at all, and I was wondering why it's been deleted or if there should be a paragraph there.
And I think we should, if we're sending things back anyway, I would propose we ask the committee why they skipped over washing committee aircraft, and specifically asking if they have anything they want to suggest at this time. Back to, unless the committee already addressed it.
Language was proposed, but.
Okay, a proposed would word something like, washing of aircraft is limited to those operations that do not result in contaminants reaching the surface of the airport surfaces or entering storm drainage structures. Contaminants can come from chemicals used or from the aircraft. Hand washing with a wet sponge provided set will provide its surface discharge is minimal. Washing or rinsing with a hose or other method that results in surface discharge is not allowed. Contact the airport manager paying locations on the airport and washing methods that have been approved by the NAA. That's kind of long.
Yeah, that's,
but you know what? It's something that clarifies to people, what are the rules concerning washing aircraft? Because we all do it and we need to maybe identify something. Yes, sir, Andy.
As I recall, in one of the meetings, Mr. Bork brought forth a document on how to wash airplanes, where to wash them, whatever, a little diagram and so forth. And the decision from the committee was, well, that's sufficient. It doesn't have to be in the rules. It's, you know, in the document, it's already spelled out for people.
Good. Do you agree?
Where is it spelled out?
We have an aircraft wash plan that we had approved by the Department of Environmental Services.
And Farrell.
Yeah, Farrell Woods for the record. So yes, at least a couple of months now, Steve did send that around. He emailed it to a bunch of folks. I know I got a copy of it. So since we have, since the airport wash plan is its own document, I don't think that we need to codify, anything regarding washing airplanes in the S&P. Just leave that as a separate document.
Was it too long? I remember you guys talking about it being very long and tedious.
So the wash plan itself wasn't complicated. I think a lot of the content in there had to do the makeup of the chemicals that are permitted to wash the airplane and material safety data sheets. That's the term I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the pages in that wash plan are actually copies of the material safety data sheets for the permitted chemicals.
Correct. Yeah.
So that's why
does the wash plan involve the approval we got from the DOT EPA for having a wash area?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so how about the person who just wants to wash their plane in their hangar and at their tie-in?
Per our stormwater pollution prevention plan and per our Department of Environmental Services, it's prohibited.
Okay.
You
can't even wipe it, can't even sponge
you
again?
As long as anything that washes off and is collected and disposed of, you can do that.
Right.
The language that was proposed was washing of vehicles on the airport is prohibited. Aircraft washing is permitted only in accordance with the aircraft wash plan available from the airport manager's office.
And that's too wordy to put. We could establish an item 4.4.3.
Oh, I would add it with de-icing. It would be too called de-icing and washing.
Well, hangers. No, it's like we're not in hangers.
Well, it's not in hangers. It's in tie-downs. It's everywhere.
Okay.
Okay.
I'd like to see some language in the S&P to at least refer to the WASH document.
Minimum, you know, everyday washing procedures or refer to guidelines.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'd like to have the committee to look at that again too. Okay, so back to Kim's. Okay, moving, and I would propose that we add it, unless there's objection, to 4.3 de-icing, and just making it de-icing and washing.
Okay.
And it has to do with. Okay. 4.4 hangers, punctuation. Mike had a comment on personal heaters.
Yeah, nowhere in the document does it refer to use of space heaters or personal heaters, which are prohibited according to the City of Nashville Fire Marshal. They're saying that no heater should be used when it's unattended. Or without the use of an extension cord.
Well,
yeah, you can't use an extension cord.
Well, if the fire prevention officer has that regulation, do we need to copy his regulations for ours? And what's one of the things the committee did is if there's an FAA or a regulation elsewhere that governs, let's not restate it and make it our own.
But isn't this a document that someone should go to know what the basics are and what's prohibitive? They need more information, they can go to, you know, regulations.
It is, to some extent, a training document, a communication document, but it's also, you know, it's part of the contracts. And if you start citing other regulations and pulling them in, then when those regulations change, yours becomes obsolete. So if the fire prevention officer in the city of Nashville has regulations for airport hangar use and heating and this and that, or everything else that goes on, smoking next to trucks, okay, then those need to be adhered to. It's not our requirement to publish them, but we can put signs up.
And we already have it because we refer to permits and restrictions,
yes,
by the,
yeah,
city of Nashville and everything.
So, yeah, we're trying not to restate everything.
Okay.
And the, you know, ultimately, it's the hangar operator, the hangar condos enforcing it, their own people, and that kind of stuff. And, you know, and we have every right in the world to go to somebody and say, you're breaking the law, stop it. Okay, without putting it in here.
Okay.
You got a comment?
No, I think you covered it, actually.
Thanks. 4.5, noise.
Yes.
The only comment on noise was Stanley's.
Okay, let me get into some trouble there. 4.5.1, I think it needs to be addressed. Sometimes there are exceptions granted. And we have a company on the airport now that I love dearly, good people. They have to do run-ups a couple times a day. And we have procedures and places to go where that has to occur. There was a little bit of some turmoil because for them to get to where they're supposed to be and back just to do testing is a pain in the neck for them, costly, time-consuming, I get it. So Steve granted a waiver to them, a little exception.
A time waiver?
Yes, you can maybe tell exactly what you did. Said that they could, instead of going all the way down to the run-up area where everybody else goes, they were allowed to go to a different area. We talked about where it could be, where...
But not time. They're still doing it between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. or 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. Because 4.501 deals only with time of run-ups.
Okay. So...
That's to protect the community from late-night stuff going on.
Okay.
So it has to do with noise.
Okay. Sunday, you know, there's different times of day. What time are they doing it, Steve? On the weekends, I can tell you, they are doing it in front of their hangar with the tail pointing towards the neighborhood, different times of day, on the weekend. So I don't know if you're talking about it when I called you. You know,
well, here this says 4.501 run-ups are restricted to the runway 14 holding 8.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's not even a run-up area for the 3-2 area.
Right. So.
And it gives a timeline. So what you're saying is that they're performing run-ups outside their hangar?
Yes. Any exception to this rule must be approved. So Steve made an exception, and they're not adhering to the exception.
Okay.
So that's why I have an issue with this. You know, it's tough.
So when you get tough. But do you have anything wrong with the wording here?
Wrong with the wording. Well,
but they're just not following the procedure when you get tough.
Maybe there shouldn't be exceptions.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. But I think we can... What if somebody needs to do a run-up on 3-2 at noon, and there's no problem with that, and they're pointing in the right direction, and that would be an exception to this?
For a high power level?
Andy, I answer the record. If you have made an exception, you can always rescind the restriction. If you have not made an exception for somebody, and they're breaking the rules, however they're laid out, what can you do to stop them? You can do the same thing if you make an exception. However, you're going to stop them from breaking the rule if there is no exception. If you make an exception and they break the exception rule, you can also stop them from doing that.
So the biggest reason for this is our neighbors, the noise and pollution that our neighbors have in our yards.
The time of the day on the weekend, and allowing them, instead of going down to the run-up area, allowing them, okay, well, you can do it over here.
According to this, nobody can do anything in front of their hangar unless they get an approval from the airport manager, okay? Yeah. And I think he can manage that. So we have the exclusions here, and we have the authority to enforce it. It's just a matter of if they're breaking the rules, then we need to be on top of it.
So we should allow the exception? Still allow exceptions?
I think the exceptions accommodate our jet customers primarily, and I think with good judgment we can allow them, yes. I'd hate to say there's no exception to this. I'd be a real
lot of a problem, Steve?
You'd have to ask Sandy that question.
Well, I
live in Hooksett, so.
It is a problem. I understand they're great customers. We want to keep them here. We want to make them happy. So Steve went out of his way, and okay, let's work together. Let's do this, and still it's not being adhered to. So, and I have discussed it with you. I'm not sure if you talked to them about it.
I haven't talked to them yet. Is it still an ongoing issue?
Yeah.
Okay. Then let's address that issue, but I think the S&P is okay. I think if you have a concern with an exception, then the board can reverse the exception if Steve's in support. I think he's under the gun to approve most of the requests like that, within reason, protecting the environment. Okay, moving on to 5.1.1, fixed base operator. Sandy, you had a comment.
May or must provide. NFBO may provide. So they have to provide it, but they may or they don't have to.
I know where you're getting to, and I think you're getting to minimum standards, and the committee decided that minimum standards was something that the board needed to resolve before they put into the S&P. Okay, we want to enact minimum standards for an FBO. We need to establish that minimum standards instead of throwing it in here.
So, are we going to leave that word here?
What is the current word? The current word is an FBO may provide. Mm-hmm. And so what they're not doing is they're not changing the S&P, the current S&P, from what it says. And what our operating agreement right now is pretty much saying the same thing. We're allowing the FBO to provide these services, and nowhere in that FBO agreement does it say they must provide services, and it's assumed they're going to, and we need to address this as a totally separate issue as a minimum standards issue. And if we decide to enact minimum standards, which I think we should, that's down the road. That's on our wish list. And yes, and then we can go back and put the minimum standards in our S&P. Mm-hmm. Good enough? Carol, did I handle that one okay?
I think
yes,
you did.
I do. 5.2, independent operator. The phrase is a base business unit, a base business that, okay, in other words, an independent operator is here on the field. And Richard, you had a comment, I think you're just answering the change.
No.
And there is a punctuation on flight instructions going to flight instruction. 6.0, fees. Sandy, you had a comment.
Shall be reviewed annually. When is that, Mike? All fees shall be reviewed annually.
Yeah, which one is that?
When does it get reviewed? I'm just curious. When the fees get reviewed.
Well, I assume that if we don't bring it up, then it got reviewed and nobody decided to take action.
Just for the record.
Okay, but I think what this does is it's just basically telling them that we're going to look at it every year. If we don't do anything, then that's our decision.
Reviewed every year, we do the budget.
So during budget time.
Okay, so I'm going to add something here. Airport layout plan or map is missing. Okay, Sandy, you commented on that. Would you like to see an airport? Is it our intent to put the AIP miniature in with the S&P?
There was some discussion about adding the airport layout plan, the ALP. Since we have a new gate plan, I would recommend we add the gate plan rather than the airport layout plan. The airport layout plan there's a lot of information in there. It's very compact and dense, and to try to put all that information in an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper.
Yeah. The gate plan that kind of zoomed in and labeled gates and ramps and runways and
We do.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd say I support putting a map in here, and if anything, anything you have to support that, but some sort of map. But you know what? It's not referred to in the S&P. It's not a requirement in the S&P. Like the interletter, it's superfluous to it, and I think that is something that we should say is not subject or is. Is our option to change at any time we want to. Anybody have a problem with that? Okay, so we can update it annually or whenever we have something available. And I'll make a note of that too. And put that as a up to a vote. Okay. And we're on the last page. Historical information, again, I would say that is very similar to the map and the introduction letter. This is additional information that is subject to review and change whenever the board decides and is not part of the S&P process.
Right.
Agreed? Okay.
I also think that anybody who might have any historical information that they think is important might be included, forward it to the NAA so they can review it.
Okay, so callbacks, you want to go back to 1.3.1? 1.3.3. F says, the applicant shall provide a certificate of insurance attesting to compliance with paragraph 1.2.3 if applicable. The words if applicable were added. Paragraph 1.5.2b refers to maintain public liability insurance with companies licensed to do business in New Hampshire, which policy shall be countersigned by a New Hampshire registered agent. Now, we're not defining the levels of that insurance in this.
So I know that this is going to go away.
But it would have been pertinent for us to, when we approve business, say, what's your limits of liability and are you going to have insurance? But.
So, are the building owners responsible for their tenants
like I know my landlord requires me to have insurance. Do you know, does he provide his insurance or do we all this?
Do I care? Because if something happens at one of our lessee's property, our contract with that lessee requires them to insure and indemnify us, so we're protected.
Right.
The lessee is not protected if his tenant screws up. So the lessee tries to protect himself by getting their tenant to provide insurance. Mm-hmm. So I guess the idea here was that we weren't going to open Pandora's box with trying to insure skydivers or float planes when we can't, we would have to enforce multiple standards or even realize that they can't get insurance, okay? So we're just concerned as a landlord with our tenants' facilities and operations. And the terms of that insurance are dictated in their lease agreement, or should be, not the S&P.
But it says here we're supposed to provide a certificate of insurance.
If it's a business.
Do we have a certificate of insurances on file for all the tenants?
No, because I know I haven't provided.
Or anything.
No, but your building owner does.
That's what I'm
the
owner, the
builder. It says 1.33 says any person, legal firm, or legal entity wishing to establish leasehold on the airport shall make written application in a manner blah. And F says that our leaseholders have to provide us a sort of an insurance. It's not getting specific because the lease itself, or before we sign the lease, we should make specific any requirements. I mean, it'd be too variable. Maybe.
So really just the building owner is really the one providing the certificate of insurance?
Yes.
Not each individual little business?
In your case, it's the building owner. Mm-hmm. In somebody else's case, like East Coast Aero Club, for example, mm-hmm. it's going to be, well, again, it's going to be the building owner. It's going to be Greg, they own the building. Mm-hmm. They have insurance that covers anybody in that building.
You probably need to have a certificate of insurance to your landlord. Mm-hmm.
Right. When I moved in years ago, I never got a copy of the S&P.
Well, hopefully our contract, our lease agreements require insurance to protect us and the city. And we should review that and make sure they're there. But
so it's not the businesses, really. It's the
1.5.2 concerns the businesses. 1.3.3 concerns the leaseholders. Okay. So if you look over here, 1.5.2, the insurance requirements are B. And it says very simply, maintain public liability insurance with companies licensed in business in New Hampshire, which provides policies, which policy shall be countersigned by New Hampshire registered agent. It doesn't get specific in the amounts and this and that, because mm-hmm. really what we're doing is we're requiring you to have insurance, but it's up to you to determine what your limit requirements are. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I can think of a lot of things I'd like to have in here and require 1 million insurance and 2 million aggregate and all this and that, but is it really our job to police that every operator of business here that operates on this field have insurance? And once we start that, we'd have to maintain it, and maybe our liability increases if they don't have it or if it lapses. So it's that's one maybe for our attorney, but for now I think the S&P is fine. Okay. Any other?
No.
Yay, okay. That was a quick review. Okay, so to sum it up, okay. We're gonna pull out of the S&P process and declare it as supplemental accessory information to the S&P, but not the S&P. The intro letter, the map, and the historical information. Okay? And that will be one motion we make. Another motion is at one point, well.
Would you make the motion?
Okay, so moved. All those in favor?
Actually,
we're not supposed to make any motion or vote until next time after everything's advertised, okay? What I'm pretty much doing is getting consensus tonight.
It's just a discussion, okay.
Almost got me there. 1.2.4 is to go back to committee with a, with our comments and instructions that to not reduce the NAA's authority. 1.2.5 is to go back to committee with an, with recommendations on the wording. 1.4.3 is to go back to committee. We follow along here, so I don't lose track.
That was the but not limited to.
That's the but not limited to. Let's go back to committee with instructions to not limit limit NAA's options in renewing contracts. And 1.4.5 back to committee. That's the one that has the conflicts with or modifies or supplements. And we're going to send that back with instructions not to limit and to add a NATO response and a no response is a NATO response. That's pretty much it. Along with punctuation and spelling.
Can I get a little clarification on 1.2.4 parties of interest?
I'm sorry, did we add Washington? We decided that we're going to send Washington back. So that's another
option.
Yep, any questions?
To me, it says parties of interest are FBOs, independent operators, tenants, building owners, and condo owners. What happens if I'm just a airplane owner with a tie down? Could I not serve on that committee?
That would be a tenant, Mike.
That would be a tenant?
Yes.
So business owner something?
Let me go.
It says building owners, it doesn't say business owners.
So maybe that could be clarified a little more. It could say shall include but not limited to.
Or conflict as well. Okay, we're all deep in thought. Okay, so I think we have pretty much enough to send back to committee to get the response. And if it was done efficiently, perhaps we could put this on the agenda for a final vote, okay, in October, but I would say that that's not going to happen.
Just,
we got to
sit
back to the committee,
yeah.
Give the committee time to respond, and hear that response at the next meeting, at the very latest. I'd like to see it before then, but then we can plan on approving the S&P in November. All approved? Okay. Consensus.
Yeah.
Good.
Good process.
Then, public input. We're at the close of our meeting. Fair.
So at the beginning of the meeting, you handed out, you know, these small sheets from the state that had some information about economic impact. If I can approach the bench?
Yes.
Sidebar.
Sure.
You have a colored copy, Brian.
I just want to offer...
On your knees, though.
Oh, whoa, no. Yeah, in your dreams. So I just wanted to offer to you folks, you know, whoever's interested. This pertains to Keene, but it's a more comprehensive economic impact and opportunity study.
And then by who?
It says Boyd Group International. So just wanted to offer this to you folks for your perusal. With a document like that, I see two potential things that can come out of that, at least. One of them is it can provide some direction, you know, in how to grow the airport, how to get, you know, make the place a little more busier, a little more prosperous. Two, it has some very specific numbers. Again, that pertains to Keene, but I think such a thing could be assembled for Nashua. It demonstrates the benefit of the airport to the city and to the surrounding area, you know, in nice hard numbers, number of people employed, the amount of money the airport brings in. And where that's valuable is when you go to the budget committee and you're looking, you know, to make capital improvements to the airport. You know, I would imagine that the budget committee would appreciate seeing some hard numbers.
Carol, when can we have this done?
Yeah. Not my area of expertise.
I'd like to contact them and get a quote for something. But I'd like to read it first. Is it?
And that is publicly available. If you go to the Keene, if you go to the city of Keene, part of their website pertains to the airport. Anybody can download that document and read it.
This is basically a mirror image of what the state did for us, but this is another company.
This is another company. They may have gathered some of the data that's in there from what the state put together.
Yeah, this is 2012.
Yeah, it's a few years
old. The state study took a long time, 5 years, 6 years, something like that. I think what I see in here, a lot of it is personal income, business income, tax revenues, all that kind of stuff that the state kind of consolidated. What I'm hoping is that the master plan acceleration in the next year will take into consideration the process of helping decide what the overall possibilities are and potential is. And during that process, we have to prepare master plan committees and gather user input and all that kind of stuff. So that's the intent.
Okay.
And you know what? This is great. The opportunity study, the economic impact. What we lack is a marketing plan, and that's a huge hole. So I again emphasize, we need volunteers for a marketing committee, and if we can formulate again and strengthen this marketing committee, then what I can promise you is that. It will fall in line to the S&D committee where elect your chairman, determine your agenda, pool yourselves together, and this board is going to fund its activities. Or not the fun activity, but what it comes up with. Okay, or at least we'll try to. Okay, any other questions? Do I have a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn to non-public session under RSA 91-A32A for employee review.
I'd like to amend the motion to move to a non-public session and under what?
Oh, to move.
Yeah.
Instead of adjourn.
Not to adjourn.
Oh, excuse me. Okay.
I'll second.
Okay.
The amended motion.
And we need a roll call vote.
Chairman Stevens.
Aye.
Vice Chairman Sheegan.
Yes.
Treasurer Rosenblum.
Yes.
Secretary Cushing Adams.
Yes.
Okay. We are adjourned to public meeting. Thank you all. With 2 minute break.
Okay.
Wow.
I'm just going to email
I'm somewhere.
Great. One day late.
I gotta think today. Can you do the meeting tonight?